And then people in the functional fitness world, the CrossFit world, were like, I kind of want to keep doing curls. It's like, yes, you can.
Power Project family, this is a Power Bite. And a Power Bite is a highlight from a full-length episode that we do not want you to miss. Links to the full episode are in the podcast show notes, along with special perks for all of our beautiful listeners. Enjoy.
Do you think CrossFit, for the most part, has fixed the resilience aspect of things? Because, like, you know, the idea when we were looking at CrossFit years ago, and there's always memes of how, like, CrossFitters, when they're training, their form's kind of messed up because of the time aspect of things, and they're trying to do things fast, right? But do you think in general, like, that's been kind of modified and changed, and you don't see as many injuries, or is that still a big problem within that sport?
Well, I like to be really careful to differentiate between CrossFit as a sport and then CrossFit as a methodology for general population. And I also like to be careful to say, like, look, I'm not affiliated with the brand or the company anymore. You know, I used to own a CrossFit gym. I don't anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to compete in the sport of CrossFit. I don't compete anymore. I still know many people. I still follow the sport, and I still connect with coaches that are in the industry of, or in the, under the brand of CrossFit. And of course I saw some of the, I was an early adopter, and I was a very proud participant in the early years of the culture of CrossFit, despite the shortcomings and despite the mistakes that we made, you know, people getting injured, people getting too much intensity, maybe trying to fast track something that, you know, shouldn't be fast tracked, right? You shouldn't fast track somebody to snatch, maybe, you know. With that said, in an effort to be kind of on that leading edge of that community, learned a tremendous amount, a lot of things that gave a ton of value to people. When it was done well, it was beautiful. When it was done poorly, and poorly just means somebody who didn't have experience coaching it, then it was disastrous in some cases, or it was really bad for some people. So the limiting factor was experience. We're almost 15 years from, like, when the first CrossFit affiliates opened up. Yeah. So 2007 was the first CrossFit Games. You know, we're 2022 is right around the corner. So we're 15 years later. It's been a lot of coaching, a lot of hours, over a decade of the sport, almost two decades of the methodology and when the website was launched. Lots of education, lots of subject matter experts coming in and helping the CrossFit community, coaches, athletes learn better movement mechanics, learn better things, made a lot of mistakes, seen all the problems with trying to do this. You look at a tradition, like a standard CrossFit gym now, what the programming looks like, it's highly elevated. There's a lot of CrossFit gyms that use things that I put out, functional bodybuilding, as their group fitness delivery, because it's the same movements. We got burpees. But we got dumbbell floor presses too. You know, we got chin-ups, and we're also doing, you know, sumo deadlifts at tempo. And so I think a lot of things have just continued to elevate. You keep messing people up, that's not a good business move, right? People want to stay in business. People want to help people. And over time, it's just continued to get better, and it will continue to get better. And the ownership of CrossFit has changed hands recently. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still driven to make a profit. They're still driven to drive the sport, to do all the things that help grow a business. But I think at the underlying principle is, like, we got to help people. And if the more people we help, the more the business grows. Because when people were getting hurt, that didn't help the business. It drove people out of the gym. So I think there's a lot of things that are getting better. I think that there's fewer and fewer people that are just like, hey, you know what? I got a good idea. Let's open up a gym and let's just, you know, throw people through a crazy workout of burpees and kettlebell swings and jumping on boxes and cracking their shins open. Like, it's happening much less because those facilities and those coaches just, they can't survive in the current fitness climate. They just don't. Like, people are like, oh, I see through that. There's too many options out there. Now you got CrossFit, you got F45. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got these different Barry's boot camps. You've got all these options for people to do functional training with some intensity. And everybody's like, we got to keep people safe and having fun and making progress. So it just helps everybody raise their abilities and the quality of what's out there. It's not perfect by any means, but it's getting better.
Why bodybuilding, like functional bodybuilding, like, I think the term bodybuilding, you know, it's just been around for a long time. And now there's like, obviously there's the sport of bodybuilding, but in your context, I don't think you're really referring to the sport of bodybuilding. Right. I think you're talking about utilizing some movements that will help build the body.
Yeah.
But that are movements that can be, maybe, beneficial to your day to day type thing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, this is where the blending of functional and bodybuilding come together and what you just said at the end, but breaking them apart, you know, I, from when I was 13 and going to the gym, like I started going to Gold's Gym and I was just doing bodybuilding routines. And when I talk about bodybuilding, it was like, the goal was to use resistance to alter your muscle mass, to grow muscle.
Why did you do that? Were you just trying to get, you were like scrawny, you're skinny, you're like, I don't need to be bigger?
No, I was
stronger for soccer.
It was interesting because at the time I just liked moving. I liked doing, like, I was with my brother like 10 years old and like, you know, we had a little thing in the garage and it was like, oh, can I do a pull up on this? I was like trying to figure out ways to do this stuff. I don't know where I got that from, but I kind of liked doing the push-ups, and I think I wanted to get muscle, not because I was scrawny. I was like an athletic guy, but I just thought it looked cool to have muscles. So I wanted to go to the gym, and my brother wanted to go to the gym, and I wanted to hang out with him, and that was cool. So he got his license, you know, at 16, I was 14, and we were driving to Gold's Gym, and that was perfect. We just followed the machine's description. There's the picture. Okay, this is a chest. Okay, we'll do chest. I'll do all the chests, right? Bodybuilding to me, or those routines, were all about what can I do to affect the size, the shape, the look. And it was never about function. Like, you get a little stronger, which is a functional trait, but I wasn't trying to like move well. I didn't think about technique. I didn't think about technique until I maybe had my first shoulder pain doing bench press. I'm like, am I doing this right? You know, I was just doing following the machine. Like, that's the technique. So bodybuilding for years was just about muscle contraction to change something aesthetically about myself. Mm. There's a lot of strength elements involved in that, but that was what it meant to me. But I put 10 years of that in, and I showed up to my first CrossFit workout, and guess what? I was pretty good at it. You know, I could do the thrusters and the kipping pull-ups, and I almost got a muscle up on my first day, and not because I had done CrossFit and functional training, because I had done the reps. I had built a base of muscle mass. And I always, you know, I did a lot of machine stuff, but I also got kind of introduced to Charles Poliquin as a strength coach and a bodybuilding coach early on. And some of his methods and his programs were like strict chin-ups, split squats, you know, heels elevated front squats, you know, movements that were like big ranges of motion. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing bodybuilding with big range of motion. So I have that in my background. And then, of course, the big CrossFit era, which was very functional. It was very performance-based. And at the end of it all, I'm like, hey, there's this happy medium between the two.
Pat Project family, is TRT or HRT something that you've been interested in? Well, if you are, that's why we've partnered with Merrick Health, owned by Derek for More Plates, More Dates. They are the premium telehealth TRT and HRT clinic. And the great thing about Merrick Health that is so unique about them is that versus every other telehealth clinic out there, they give you direct plans for you specifically. Many clinics give you just plans that they give to everybody else. But we are individuals. We have different hormonal levels. We need unique plans. That's why you need to check out Merrick Health. And Andrew, can you tell the people how to do it?
Yes, over at MerrickHealth.com, M-A-R-E-K Health.com. When it comes time to actually purchasing these labs and paying for them, if you're talking to somebody on the phone, you can just mention promo code POWERPROJECT15, or if you are manually checking out on your own, you can enter promo code POWERPROJECT15 to save 15% off all labs. Links to them down in the description, as well as the podcast show notes. Let's get back to the video.
Move to move better and to move like with more power, and move to develop muscles and to focus on how to control our bodies and to change our aesthetic. And I think people like this, and people who like this think that this looks somewhat appealing. How do I make that bridge that gap? And then people in the functional fitness world, the CrossFit world, were like, I kind of want to keep doing curls. It's like, yes, you can. And so how do we bring those together? And that was where this mindset around functional bodybuilding just made sense to me. It was like, they both have value. And they don't belong in different parts of the gym. They belong in the same part of the gym.
I want people to like really pay attention to kind of what you mentioned there, because there's a theme that like has happened with a lot of episodes on this podcast when we've had people on. Andre Milanichev came on, and his advice to lifters was the first few years, 2 to 3 years of your lifting, build up volume. Okay. Mm-hmm. So do a lot of high rep work in the gym, build muscle, build your training volume, doing bodybuilding type movements.
Yep.
When you look at a lot of the top power lifters in the game, a lot of them started with bodybuilding when they were younger. Yep. And then once they transferred to powerlifting, boom, for some reason they got strong fast.
Yeah.
You had a base of bodybuilding. You move into CrossFit, your body's resilient, you're able to perform really well and adapt quickly.
Yeah.
There's a lot there in building resilience in your body with bodybuilding before you start getting into a lot of these other sports.
Right. Well, and some of these other sports, and when you start to perform in them, they're going to put a tremendous amount of load on, you know, connective tissues. And if you've done the bodybuilding work and you put in those thousands of reps and that volume, you know, it takes time for your, you know, ligaments and tendons to build strength. You can build a lot of muscle mass quickly, but they're not going to catch up for 5-10 years. So you put in that volume of training. Now your ligaments and tendons are ready to handle the force production required for an Olympic lift in CrossFit when you're breathing heavy and you've just done toes to bar. So that's part of it. Yeah. One of my early mentors, James Fitzgerald, who I know you guys have had up here, you know, he said, I remember he said like, well, what's the best, somebody asked him like, what's the best way to, you know, be good at CrossFit? Cause he was the first champion ever. And he's like, yeah, do bodybuilding for 10 years. And people were like, no, that's wrong. It's like, no, it's kind of right. You know? So I believe in that a lot. And then the other thing about bodybuilding is that there's a mind-muscle connection. You know, Arnold talked about it. It's like learning how to actually control your muscles with your brain, like, you know, motor control. You just learn it. And I learned it through bodybuilding reps, but I also learned it through flexing in the mirror. Mm. You know, I'm like a teenager. I'm like, you know, I'm like, how do I flex those upper back muscles? It's like, I learned how to basically, you know, flex my rhomboids. Or most people are like, what's a rhomboid? They have no idea. So you're like, okay, let's go do this exercise. Let's go do a pull-up. Let's get your upper back. Let's get your shoulders to depress before you pull with your arms. They're like, what are you talking about? It's like, I'm like, I get that. I know how to move those things because I was trying to do a rear, you know, double bicep and figure out how to make it look cool in the mirror, right? So there's such beauty in taking pieces of that world. Be like, oh, that's how it makes people actually understand their bodies better.